Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to especially thank God for Johnny Mercy's. I had to find the fastest way to get to Nigeria just to be here. I want to honor Brother Rex, who has been following me up and who is our national director. I want to especially honor you, sir. Thank you and thank you and thank you for inviting me here. I want to honor our father who has labored and who is our past national director, Reverend Dr. Gideon Paranama. God bless you, sir. I also want to honor Brother Wale. He has been the one driving this thing, following me, sending me messages. I didn't know whether to cancel or not because we just came back from the U.S. I didn't want to disappoint because this is the second year or third year we've been working on being here. Let's lift up our hands. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you have done since the beginning of this conference. Thank you for all of your servants and investments you have made, the eternal investments you have made in the lives of your children. Thank you for the journey messes. Lord, use this moment that we're going to spend together, this short period, to trigger something that will add tremendous value to your purpose and your plan for the church, for your purpose and the plan for our universities and campuses, for your purpose and your plan for everyone that is here, for your purpose for this nation. Knowing that the future is in the hands of our young people. Thank you for NIFES, the strategic role that you have given to this movement in this nation and in what you're doing around the world. Open our eyes this morning. Speak with such clarity that even a baby will understand. Speak with that voice that raises the dead. Quicken us and position us for greater exploits in this last day's mandate. Equip us to finish the task that is left. I give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. This is my first time in the dome. And I really want to use this opportunity to honor Pastor Paul and Nature, an apostle. And I honor him and what God is doing with him, even though he is not here. But with time, we'll be able to meet directly. I wish I can bring my pulpit down. Will it disenfranchise some people if I do that? Okay. The Word of God has three major components. So I'm going to focus on one. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Do you have projection? Each of the components connect to world mission. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us. Belong to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. So, even though we call the written word the Logos, but the Bible is one of the greatest gifts God has given to us as a church, as God's people. And I believe that it's also one of the greatest gifts he gave to humanity. God's written revelation. It has three major components. One of the components, about one third of the whole Bible, is prophecy. Another one third are precepts. Precepts are instructions, teachings, laws and ordinances to govern the way we live our lives. So when in the Great Commission, Jesus asked us to go make disciples of all nations, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Those are the precepts, principles, instructions, values for living. And that covers about 30% of the scriptures. Almost everywhere you turn, you see principles to govern our lives as God's people. Then another 30% has to do with the supernatural, the miraculous. And when you get to this point, what God does is he takes stories of real human beings who obeyed God's precepts and show you how they turned out. You hear stories of powerful move of God, how God was faithful to his word. Then he will also take stories of people who disobeyed God's word and show you how they ended up, how they were destroyed, how life turned out for them. Now, the reason God gave us these stories in the Bible is so that if you choose to disobey the precepts of the scriptures, you will know how you will end. If you choose to be among those that will obey God in your own generation, you will also know how you will end. So we have prophecies, we have precepts, and we have products. The products. These are the life stories of men and women that walk with God, and men and women that disobeyed God. You see how they turned out. In the stories of those that obeyed God, you will see supernatural interventions of God, miraculous moves of God. Men and their records are found in all the pages, in all the books of the scriptures. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we pursue the final phase of God's mandate to the church, finishing the task that remains, these three components apply when I read the story of generals, the story of men and women, ordinary people who followed God in the Bible. I put myself in there. I follow the example of men and women of faith, men and women of righteousness, men and women of character, men and women that obeyed God. But the component of these three P's that I want to talk to you about is not the precepts. For example, if you look at the precept that has to do with the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Then he said, go and make disciples of all nations. These are instructions. These are not suggestions. These are precepts. These are instructions for us to obey. This is the Great Commission. But that's not the angle I'm going to come. If you also look at it, you see that he promised us that those who obey, signs and wonders will back them up. The power of the Holy Spirit will back up that obedience. That is not the angle I also want to focus on this morning. The angle I want to focus on is the prophecy side of the equation. The things that are hidden belongs to the Lord. The things that are revealed belongs to us so that we might do it. I know that all of us here, at least majority of us here, are students of prophecy.
The challenge I have with the way many a time prophecy is taught in this part of the world is that we only look at it from one perspective. You know, like mission has about four perspectives. World mission has about four perspectives. God never writes a story from only one side. You will notice that when God writes an instruction to parents or to children about submission to parents, He also writes to parents. When He writes to wives about submission to their husband, He also writes to husband about their responsibility to love their wives. So in the Bible, you will find instructions for leadership. You also find instruction for followership. God never writes from only one perspective. So most of the time, when people approach prophecy from only the prophetic perspective, what it leaves them with sometimes is with fear. They look at the last days with fear. They look at the challenges that the last days are bringing with fear, instead of looking at it with faith, instead of seeing the opportunities and how we can harness it. They see it and they become overwhelmed. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32 said there is a tribe in Israel called the tribe of Issachar. But that tribe had two dimensions to their understanding of the plan of God. The Bible said the tribe of Issachar understands the times. They have knowledge of the times and they also know what Israel ought to do. Many years ago, I read that scripture and the Lord gave me understanding that anybody that wants to study prophecy needs to approach it from those two sides. First of all, you need the understanding of the time. You need prophetic perspective so that you can have understanding of what is happening in the world, understanding of global trends, understanding of where things are headed. But then you need the understanding of what the church ought to do, what God's children ought to do. And that is the strategic perspective. And that is the angle from where I want to approach this. Because it's from here you will see the relevance of prophecy to world mission. As you study your Bible, I want to beg all of us, make sure that you also study the prophetic scriptures. Don't just study the instructions. Do this. Go and make disciples. How to live. Make sure there is a reason why that is one third of the scriptures. And these prophecies are broken into two major segments. The first segment had to do with the first coming of Christ. The second segment has to do with His second coming. I went to do my own research. After listening to everybody that I respect preach on this, I went to do a close study of this thing. And it dawned on me that everything written about His first coming came to pass. Over 360 something prophecies were written about Christ's first coming. Every one of them came to pass. And the Holy Spirit made it clear to me that just like the first coming, everything written about Him came to pass. That's how we can have faith and confidence that not even a jot, not even a comma of everything written about His second coming will have to come to pass. And the Holy Spirit said to me, He said, it was even more difficult to fulfill everything about His first coming. I said, why? He said, because there was no way Jesus could have manipulated it. How does a baby in the womb manipulate and decide where you will be born? Prophecy said He was going to be born in the city of Jerusalem. And He said to me, when Jesus couldn't have manipulated it, He couldn't have done anything about it, all of them happened. What about now that He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He is seated at the right hand of God with all power in heaven, all power on earth, and all power under the earth in His hand? Now that He can do and undo. How does a dead man that is in the grave influence his own resurrection. The prophecies about his first coming were such that he had no way of making them come to pass. But you will see, if you start studying them, you will see situations like this. To make sure that that baby was born in Jerusalem, born in a manger, at the time when he was due, the mother was due to be delivered, the Roman emperor passed a decree that there will be census and commanded everybody to return back to their hometown. And so Joseph carries Mary and returns to Jerusalem where they were from. And why they were in Jerusalem? Because every other person returned, they couldn't find a space, not even a hotel, not a... Jerusalem, labor started and that baby was born. Okay, think about when Jesus was crucified, he was hanging on the tree. By this time, he has given up the ghost, he has died. There was nothing he could do about fulfilling, but there is something written concerning him on the cross that has not been finished. And that word, Isaiah wrote that they pierced his side. So, the Roman soldiers said, the evening is coming, the Sabbath day is the next day, we need to finish up these three men, because you know he died with two thieves. Finish them up and bring them down and put them where they should be, so that we don't defy the Sabbath day. And so they came to the male factor on the right, he was already dead. They broke his bones. They came to the one on the left, he was already dead. They broke his bone. When they came to Jesus, prophecy said that none of his bones will be broken. I'm trying to do something to our faith and quicken by the power of the Holy Spirit a new level of confidence on God's word. Prophecy said none of his bones was broken. Prophecy also said that his side would be pierced. When they got to him, they wanted to break his legs just like they broke the other ones. They broke their legs and blood gushed out and they died. When they got to him, they found out he was already dead. And so what they did was to take javelin and pierce his side. And two prophecies were fulfilled at the same time. The piercing of his side and the fact that none of his bones was broken. If you look at the Passover lamb that was eaten on the day of Passover when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. If you read the instruction, Exodus chapter 12, God also said that the bones are not to be broken. Because that animal was talking about our Savior. It was a picture of our Savior. So, this is the picture I'm trying to paint for you. At these situations where he couldn't have done anything, everything written about him was fulfilled. There were some few elements in prophecy that he studied, he understood, and he deliberately acted upon them. There were some of them. What about now? He has all power in his hands. Just like that songwriter said, everything written about him must be fulfilled. So as we look forward into the future, look forward into finishing the task that is left. They gave us the prophetic scriptures. I want to hold the Bible in my hand. As our GPS, as our roadmap. The beautiful thing about the journey, the Christian journey, is that we have a journey to make. God gave us a map so that we will not miss our direction. and this is it. This is the map. Then God did something amazing again. He went beyond giving us the map. He gave us the person who drew the map. The person who knows the road to guide us in the journey. And that is the Holy Spirit. What would be the difference if you are traveling to a place you have never been before, a very far place, and then you are given a map and you are going to depend on that map to make the journey? And another person is traveling to the same place. He is given the same map, but along with the map, he is given a tour guide. Somebody that has been there. Somebody that knows the road. And he said, okay, I'm taking you on the journey. As you read the map, I will be explaining everywhere we come. When we get to this bridge, he said, this is Benue River. This is the confluence city. That's where we are now. And you look into the map, you actually see it. Now, that is the tremendous advantage we have today. Not only having the scriptures, but having the person that wrote it alongside with us. Okay. Amen. Amen. The Bible and the author of the book are among some of the greatest gifts after salvation that God gave to us as God's people. So what's the purpose of prophecy? There are a number of them, you know. Seven of them stand out for me. I'm not going to list them. But one of them is the power of foresight. And ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, I want to make this point clear so I can hit the hammer on the nail and get out of here. There is a document that the U.S. government publishes every 10 to 15 years. It's called Global Trend. I don't know if any of you have read it. I will encourage those of you who can, who like to know what is happening in our world, to always buy it. I buy it every time they produce a new one. What they do is that they have two major agencies of the government that do forecasting of the future for the U.S. government. And the information they gather, they publish it in a book. The book is titled Global Trends. And then with that information, the U.S. government can plan. They plan both their domestic policies and their foreign policies. Now, since 20-something years, I started buying it and reading. I have observed that they get it up to 65%. Sometimes 60%. And then they fumble. What these people are doing for the government is forecasting the future. Government leaders of the world need to know where things are headed to be able to plan for today. I went for a course, and when we started dealing with global markets, global trade, and foreign policies of government, there was a case that we dealt with one day. I was shocked what was coming out of the class. It was COVID, this COVID that just passed. There is a company in the U.S., I'm not going to call name for a reason, a pharmaceutical company, that knew about everything that was going to happen, because that company has connection to the powers that be, the regulatory agencies, all the powers that be in government that regulate. They have their people in there. They had contacts in there. So they knew everything. This company designed COVID vaccine in 2 days. Within 4 weeks, they have manufactured. Within another 4 weeks, they have finished everything, including getting the approval, and they were ready. In 2 months, they had vaccine ready to roll it out. And then, the amazing thing about this training that we went to is that every time we need to do a case study on anything, they will bring the directors or leaders of that organization. Either they come through technology to talk to those of us who are learning, and we fire them questions. And my colleagues began to fire questions. They wanted to know, how is this possible? They came up with a new type of vaccine that has never been created on the earth. There is a lot to say about that, but I'm not going to say it because I'm on TV. That has never happened since the creation of human beings. A new way of making vaccine, designed in 2 days, was designed on computer, manufactured within 4 weeks, delivered. Vaccine making takes a minimum of 10 to 15 years. What did they have to the advantage? Foresight. What shook the rest of the world? They were already aware. They were given information ahead of time. This company that I'm talking about is a pharmaceutical company. They have never produced one drug in the market. They have never produced one vaccine that went to the market. They had no product. As of 2019, they had $0 profit. Zero. Are you talking about profit? Zero. They have never produced anything that went gone to the market. But because of foresight, given by people that know, people that are in power, they made this with speed. They released their vaccine all over the world, sold to almost 5 billion people on earth. And that company is number one right now when you talk about pharmaceutical. All their directors, they showed us the pictures of all the people that invested. All of them are billionaires now. Prophecy gives you foresight and gives you strategic positioning. Jesus did not give us Matthew 24 and all these prophetic scriptures to keep the church frightened or to keep the church intimidated. Oh, we are in the last days. No. Because in the midst of it, he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be published in all nations as a witness. Then the end will come. In other words, we are going to get the job done even in the midst of all this. So the question will be, why are you telling us of all this? The reason is to give us strategic positioning, to give us foresight. Foresight is power. Let me give you guys a small tips. Can I say that here? No. But something happened in our national life. This is our country. A particular government came into power, but we were informed because we were having prayer retreats and a number of those things. And we were informed and authentically informed that if this government comes into power, Nigeria will go through 7 years of famine. It will be the time of lean cow. We were also informed that the 8 years administration or the 7 years before then was a time of the fat cow, just like Joseph's prophecy. And so God said, go study what Joseph did. And I will also give you some more understanding on what to do so you can protect yourself, your family, and protect the means given to you so that when the recession hits, you will not be on the negative side of the equation. This is not even the prophecy of the scripture. Remember that all these prophecies or revelation that we get is nothing compared to the prophecy of the scripture. Prophecy of the scripture is the sure word, the unfailable one. We can make mistakes. We can receive wrongly. We can end up saying God told you when it's wrong. It's faulty. It could be your mind. But in this case, having been trained in this subject and learning the principle of confirmation, that prophecy is not of private interpretation. You have to get confirmation. They are not the only one that can hear from God. And when we are sure that this is a fact, you can imagine what we did with it. So we're able to save, conserve, put certain things in place, put certain things in places where we know that they will be safe, remove our savings from the currency that is going down, put it in certain forms. For example, you will notice that with all the things going down, nothing has affected real estate. Did you notice that? and we were able to convert some of the things that we had to some other forms and some other currencies that by revelation we knew that would remain stable. And when the changes happen and every other person is crying about what happened, God saved us because of foresight. So the projects we needed to do, our mission projects, the missions were financed all over. Nothing shook once. Nothing. Just because of foresight. I'm just giving you an example of how prophecy, the early church, that Jesus, listened to Jesus directly. In Matthew chapter 24, the first thing he told them, he said, you see all this temple, all these beautiful pieces of the temple, verse 1 and 2, there will be no stone left on another that will not be thrown down. When he started talking to them about prophecy, he first started with the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, and all of that. And then down the line, he gave some strategies. Because if you come where I live, and you tell me about the destruction of my city, you have only created fear. If you leave me like that, I will be wondering. Especially if I know that your word comes to pass. All kinds of things will be going through my mind. And you tell me, he told them, the city will be surrounded, women will be ripped open, temples will be burnt. And when you give me that kind of information, you've created a big problem. But that is not how Jesus talks. When Jesus shows you the future, he gives you survival strategies. He gives you strategic perspective also. My brother that is projecting, you can project this. It's recorded in Matthew 24. It's recorded in Luke 21. You can show it to them. Jesus said to them, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, he was talking about the invasion of Roman emperor and Roman army, which happened AD 70. Actually, AD 68, the invasion had started and the siege lasted for about 2-3 years. By 70, Jerusalem collapsed. But he was talking to them ahead of time. You know what he said? He said, once you see Jerusalem surrounded by an army, those who are inside escape. If you're already out in the country, in the city, don't try to come back. Take off from there. If you left your bag at home, don't go home to go and pick it. He said, because these are the days of vengeance, that everything written will be fulfilled. I read a record, start from verse 21, let them see it. 20. When you see Jerusalem compassed with an army, then know that the destruction thereof is near. Actually, it took about 2 years before they finally brought it down. 21. Let those that are in Judea flee to the mountains. I've been to Israel, so I know exactly where he told them to flee. All those mountains, or see a lot of mountains as you are going down till you get to the Dead Sea. Flee there. Let those that are in the midst, that's those are inside Jerusalem, depart, get out fast. Let those that are in the countries, those that went for business that are outside, they dare not to come back, because these are the days of vengeance, the next verse. If you go to Matthew, you will see some other instructions he gave concerning this. This is what is called the strategic perspective. In between prophecies, as you are reading, telling you there will be earthquakes, there will be tsunamis, there will be other, you will see God putting strategies. What we are to do. What we do is that we just read about what is coming. We don't read about those survival strategies. We don't read about those strategic initiatives. And so, at the end of the day, we don't benefit. Didn't you notice that God told Joseph, showed Joseph famine coming, 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. So he gave him wisdom, strategies to conserve wealth, so that in those days of famine, Egypt and his government will be the leading nation among all the nations of the earth. I read one place in the Bible where there was a prophet in Jerusalem. His name was Agabus. And he signified by the power of the Holy Spirit that a famine was going to come in the land of Judea. He gave them prophetic perspective and stopped there. Nothing, no strategic side. So, guess what happened? Early church, the famine let came on. The walls of Agabus was fulfilled and the churches in Jerusalem were decimated. Poverty, see the suffering of God's people. It was Paul who was ministering in the Gentile nations that now saw what was happening and he started traveling from city to city, raising funds to come and help the Jerusalem church. What about strategic side? Don't come and tell me God showed you whatever. When he finished showing you, settle down in prayer and ask him, then what do we do? Understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. That's what I'm talking about. I want to challenge every one of us from now. When you take prophecy and they are recorded everywhere, Jesus recorded, Daniel recorded, the book of Revelation, the whole book, then you have some of the writings of Paul, like some of his writings to Timothy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and all of that. All these are what we call environmental scan. That's the first thing you do when you want to do a business. You do environmental scan, market study. You do problem analysis. Then you understand the environment where you are going to be coming to invest. You understand the prevailing problems. But then an entrepreneur, a visionary, a businessman understands that the problems are his opportunities. That's what the church needs to understand. My brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the kind of mindset I have since God corrected me. He made it clear that the shakings of the last days are not meant to destroy his church, but to position the church to reap the harvest. Just think about you and I as farmers. And now we are now living in the harvest time. The harvest is ripe. And we have all these mango trees, apple trees, and then we have some of them that are small trees. The small ones like tomato, you can easily put your hands and harvest, put into your basket. But you have all those tall trees. So you will need to climb. You will need to get, you know, ladder and climb to be able to harvest them. But guess what God is doing? To make our job easier, he now sends a strong wind. And the wind is blowing everywhere, shaking all the trees to keep us from doing all the extra work of climbing. As it's shaking the forest, shaking the trees, both the ones that are low, both the ones that are high, the ripe fruits are all falling to where we can easily pick them. If you watch the crisis of the last days as they are coming out, is forcing a major movement shift across the world. For example, now you have this major migration that is going on from Africa to the developed nations. You have migration going on from the Middle East to the developed nations, to the West. In Nigeria, we have this major migration going on from northern part of Nigeria to the southern part of Nigeria. Just that one. So when I get to Europe, when I get to America, when I get to Canada, I see them all complaining. They don't understand what is going on. I say, what is it that you don't understand? It's very simple. If you are to go to Iraq to reach them, it's like that man climbing. to go and pluck the fruit. You will have to pay an extra price. Probably somebody might put you in prison. Somebody might do this to you. So God is moving the harvest to environments where there is freedom, where there are law and order, where you don't go to jail for witnessing, you don't go to jail for preaching to anybody. So he's moving the harvest from where the doors are closed to where the doors are open to where you and I are, and saying, oh yeah, look at it at your doorstep, Hannes. And you know what is going on with Nigeria? The Nigerian churches, especially the ones in the southern part of Nigeria, many, 90-something, are not missional in nature. They don't understand God's plan. They are not going to the north. They are not going to the Sahel. They are not going to North Africa. And now God is carrying the harvest and moving it down to their doorsteps. What he now wants is, train your Hausa speaking, Fulani speaking, French speaking, he joined your cadre club. If you have to start a car riding business for him, start one. Let him join the motor parts. If you have to start, I don't care whatever it is, find what can penetrate and go in there and then start reaching them and then start a movement among them. But they don't understand. The people that are to reap the harvest are complaining about the harvest. Dr. Paranormal, I'm going to say something now. Some people will be angry. I have a different understanding because I study prophecy. Somebody in authority decided to make a policy to construct roads from Nigeria to some countries. Not what? And railway, not what? Everybody's complaining. I was complaining. And one day, I was praying about my country and I raised that in prayer. You see the way the Holy Spirit hushed me there. I said, what is going on? I started searching to know what I have done wrong, you know. And then I went back into prayer. He did it the second time. So I stopped. I said, okay, what is it that I'm doing wrong? I was shocked at the answer. I was expecting something. You have unforgiveness somewhere. You have malice. You said something against your brother. I was really looking for. He said, what you are praying against is exactly part of the end time strategy. I said, unless I see that one in the word, I will not believe. He said, go to Isaiah chapter 19. The Bible says, a highway will be constructed from Africa to the Middle East. Isaiah chapter 19. And that the Assyrians will come and serve with the Africans, and Africans with the Assyrians. And that in these last days, there will be three people group God will use. The Africans, the Asians, and then later, the Jewish people. You see this thing we're doing, the baton is finally going to return to Israel. In the last days, this time of difficulty, God has chosen that his hand will be upon you. The people of black race. The people of Africa. The mission field has now become the mission sending. The center of world mission. As is happening here, it's happening in Asia. God is moving with the Indians and the Chinese. You know, God, and the same thing is happening in South America, where they carried a lot of our brothers as slaves. You know, I got into class. I went to an Ivy League training program, executive program somewhere. And I got there. And I was trying to know who and who are here. The Indians, the Chinese, the Jews. Of course, our Caucasian brothers from both Canada, US, Europe, and all. Then the Brazilians, those people from South America. And then I looked, I saw black people. And I went to check, each one you check, Nigeria. Where are you from? Nigeria. Where are you from? Nigeria. I look, Ghanaians. I'm sorry to say this, I don't want to say it on TV. The only Ghanaian I saw was a Chinese man doing real estate in Ghana. I don't want to call any other country because it's part of our job to go and awaken. It's a whole continental movement. It was then it dawned on me. What we've been hearing about this country. In the places that matter on earth, everywhere I have been, you will see Nigerians on the table. I went to MIT, where they developed COVID vaccine, and they are developing technologies. Right now, as I'm talking to you, they are already talking to us about the next virus. Oh Lord, what can I say here? What can I announce? Okay, let's leave it. People made billions from this last one. So much billions. While the rest of the world was talking, it was locked down and all that. People made billions. A lot of billionaires emerged from this. That everybody is now on a race for the next one. Just some things I can say. And then, when you hear that, the prophecies that have been said over this country, everywhere now, whether it is World Trade Organization, everywhere where decisions are being made on the affairs of this world, you see Nigerians there. I went to MIT. The place is dominated by Chinese and Indians. Then you see Jews. But guess what? I was looking for Africa. You see Nigerians. You are God's hope for the world in this last hour. You. The evangelical youths of this nation. The Christian young men and women of this nation. This is not a matter of you are the leader of tomorrow. No. This is your season. One day, there were certain things that we finished discussing. I sat on the floor. Amazingly, I sat in my bathroom. I went to bath. I put on the shower. I didn't know when I was overwhelmed. I prayed for my brethren. I prayed for the church in Nigeria. I prayed. I sat on the floor. Everybody who is a businessman, an entrepreneur, knows that the problems are the opportunities. The problems. Because it's different if you're asking me to come and start selling fridge to where they don't need it. To take air-conditioned business and take it to Northern Pole. To the Eskimos to start selling it to them when their cold is already over freezing. It's a different thing to come to a place like Africa where the heat is so unbearable, and then you bring such a business. All the global trends, all the problems you are seeing listed in prophecy are tools, foresights that God has already done. He has done environmental scan. He has done the survey of the prevailing environment to give us understanding of the environment where we are going to be playing. So whether it is from ministry perspective, from mission perspective, from career perspective, from business perspective, I understand what Israel ought to do. By understanding, let me give you three examples. As a missionary, Nigeria is still one of those countries where our rural communities lack access to electricity. Of course, our urban communities, how many hours of electricity do we get? Do we get in a day? In my house, I'm using three different means to get electricity, steady electricity. So we connect to the government supplied power. We have generator. When generator, I saw that generator was working more than power holding. And I decided that this is. And one day I realized, look at electricity every day in Abuja. Solar. Free electricity, just like free air. Because one day, these people will wake up and start taxing it. You know how they tax other things? You now pay for water. You pay for this. One day, if they find a means, they will put tax meter on oxygen. Free. And I'm wasting fuel, sending my people to go and queue in line filling station to buy fuel. And so, I decided to get independence. That God made power, energy free. And just to go get authentic companies and know what they're doing. And install this thing and start enjoying free electricity. Actually, the last house I lived, I lived in that house till I moved to another city for years without depending on any form of external energy. Everything in my house is powered by solar. But then, this is just applying strategy to yourself. But as a missionary, that community does not have light. Why can't that be your access project? To bring it at an affordable rate, make it available to the community. And you can even be making small, small money because there is a technology you put on it, just like NEPA. You collect, it bills people. And you make it very cheap. Make it cheaper than the one government is supplying. And you get the leaders of the community, get the local government chairman, get even the governor to come and do the opening service. Now we have learned about borehole. We have learned about some of these access projects. But if you study prophecy, prophecy talks about global warming. It even said there is a time that the heat will get to a point. And it's getting more serious. I just flew through London on my way here. We left US, Boston, and flew through London. And I landed in Heathrow. Okay, flight, you know, to connect. We had some time. And we decided to go and buy a few things and come back and meet our flight because we had some waiting time. And I was surprised. Summer has extended to almost the end of November in UK. They are now doing Christmas without snow. I met British people now putting solar. We're in a cold country, and we in Africa can't see. Look at some of the things he listed there. There will be crisis, conflicts, wars and rumors of wars. So insecurity will be among the challenge of the last days. Don't you know now, security company is a major issue. Why would you not be the one that protects the whole community and set up that organization? And yet you're a missionary. Are you guys seeing the way I think? Why will you not be the one that partner with a very powerful security organization to come and protect a whole community? And when that organization, you have signed an MOU with them, they are going to be giving you 40% so that you are financing the missionary, the child of God that is on mission. You don't want to come as being the one preaching and being the one collecting the money. So you set up a company, you organize it with some other people, you bring them as development partners. So you be the one to take them and meet with the community leaders, and that gives you a positioning. And that organization pays you. Why don't you be the one that will go and bring an organization that will pay company to create jobs for the use of that community? Why you be the one that run the job creation and training and career development programs, whether it's on monthly basis? This is what we do. I'm sure you have heard of our National Youth Summit. Happened is that I took a group of people in Lagos. We went to Badagry for 3 days retreat, and we listed the problems of the Nigerian youth. the list was so long. And we said, what are the ones we have positions to solve? And we were able to bring out 7 at the initial stage. Later, we were able to expand it to 12. We started with 7. And looking at our team, some of the professionals that we brought together in that retreat. And we created career development programs, enterprise, how to set up businesses, and then the coaching and mentoring that followed it. We came out with a program on agriculture, came out with a program on ICT, came out with a program. We came to Abuja, launched it, the program, advertised. The international conference center was filled to the brim. This is the launch, the opening. And when we saw what happened the next year, we returned back. We went to Igu Square, 2nd year. Igu Square was filled to the brim. The 3rd year we came, all the government agencies summoned us. We had to talk to the military. We had to talk to the Air Force. We had to talk to Secret Service because they were frightened. And do you know, each time we gathered them, our cousins. We bring them from all the local governments in Nigeria. I don't want to say some things because we're okay. Do you know what is bringing them? Those prophecies, signs of the time, we converted them to strategies. Because the problem is affecting everybody. We now looked at all of them. When you read... I went to take a program and I had 3 questions that took me there. I want to, you know, kind of wind up with 2 more of these examples. 3 things took me there. 1 is job creation, 10 million young people. How do we crack it and make it faster? And now that we are dealing with a Pan-African dimension. You know, the 3rd year or the 4th year, when we returned for that summit, there was no place. So they looked for a field in Abuja. They said only 2 people have filled that place, Rehab Bonke and Pope John Paul. Yeah. That's where the government said, well, you can't come to Igu Square before these young people because you cannot guarantee us that you can control them. We know where you are bringing some of them. The minister of AFCT came to shut down the program because of fear. He said, every time you guys come, all the senators leave Abuja. Of course, there were some senators. I can show you video. These are not stories. There were some senators that came, sat in the front. And if you know Igu Square, you have those executive places where you have those glasses, where government officials. We gave them, they said no. They went and sat in front of the young people on the ground. You know, Igu Square will be filled. All the roads around it are blocked, filled with human beings. So they sat there. I said, sir, why? Why are you sitting with them? He said, so if these young people start rioting, they will preserve us. They will know that we are on their side. They were frightened that we will not have the ability to control them. That they might hear one radical thing and right there get. You see, you went to these villages, all these places, and brought these people. Do you know who you brought? Those young men are creating businesses, creating all kinds of things. And many of them have now taken up mission work in all kinds of places. Where my friends from the south, when they hear of some places, they will be shaking like this. These ones will be going. My job is buying them small, small things like motorcycles, small, small support system. So when I read prophecy, I saw that famine, food security is going to be one of the problems that we're going to have in the last days. Automatically, we went into agriculture. COVID was enough to teach me the importance of that. I started on a small scale, so I could be able to feed my family and everybody that depends on me and a larger scale of people. Then during COVID, I found that I had to be ordering rice from everywhere we could find, sending to families. We had to create delivery companies because they would not allow normal people to come out and move. So you float organizations that deliver goods and services, deliver medical supplies. And we did. So those companies were allowed to move so that we can get food to families that need it, get medical help to people that need it. Because of TV, I'm not saying something. Get prayer to people that need it. And so after spending so much money buying food from all kinds of, I now realize, okay, food is going to be one of the issues. There will be famines in diverse places. Okay. It's time to get in and be a big player in this area. Now, when I say get in, some people assume that it's me that is going to do. No. Just get people that have passion in that area, envision them, and get them going. After sitting in the class with people, Lord, can I say this? People that created COVID and people that created the vaccine. And I told our brethren, oh yeah, diaspora, you better get in there where all this is happening. So next time, you'll be able to stand like Daniel, like Joseph, and defend the church. Know what and what they mix, because they were explaining a little mind being. Science has now gone into human genes. You can now edit the DNA of life that God created. You can have half human being and half animal. Half human being, half monkey. Half human being and half machine. Half computer. It's no more future. You've been hearing that thing is prophecy. We are in it. I sat, talked, and some of them are now my friends. People that now make this. And over 1,000 viruses are already created when they decide the next one to launch. And it's going to be more deadly than the one we just came out from. Where, what will be your position? I know, thank God, that many of you survived what happened in the last 2 years. Then, what about the next? And Jesus in prophecy told us it will be epidemics. You see, we need a Daniel generation. We need a Joseph generation. We need a Nehemiah generation. Not just those who read the Bible from only one perspective and don't understand how to really utilize this in practice. Do you know that just with health intervention, you can take a whole community? What crusade will not be able to do? Amazingly, I came basically to be here to be able to talk with you, and I'm headed to Lagos. It's a crusade in the stadium. So I believe in crusade. Don't think about that. But one day in Lagos Stadium, I spent millions to do crusade. This crusade now is costing us, Surrealist Stadium, costing us a couple of. But one day with 300,000, Prof. Doc, 300,000. We just asked them, this is sports. What is the highest cup sponsored by any organization, not government, in this country? They told us it's the MTN Cup. I said, how much do people win? He said, this, whether it's 150 or 200,000 at that time. So we added 100,000 because we wanted to be able to give gifts to the second runner and the third runner. And that was it. All the football clubs, all the clubs are they playing. You know, every field, Sundays, while you're going to church, you see people that are not going to church, they sit down in the field. How do we take the gospel to them? So we created a sports academy, created an initiative. And we created our own club. And then they started playing. Knockout. Then when he started getting to regions, So all the clubs plus all their fans will gather in a particular field. We will come. You play. Our halftime is 30 minutes, not 15. Normal halftime is 15 minutes. Our own is 30 minutes. At the beginning of football, there is praise and worship. And then prayer. And then you play. Halftime is 15 minutes. By that time, everywhere is jam. All the fans. We are doing crusade free. We didn't do advert. It is these boys that did their mobilization. Everybody wanted to get their hands on that money. Halftime, 15 minutes. Guess what we do with that? 30 minutes. We come in the middle of the field and preach. Short message. Make altar call. You will see the field packed out with souls. Then we go back and play the remaining. And then we get a winning. And then finally, it was heading to final, semi-final, quarter-final, finals and semi-final. So it's now member. You don't pay for stadium. The sports agents, they have their way. They have radio. They have their means of advert. The newspapers give them free advert. All those things, normally I will pay. The TV has special sections for sports, every whatever. They go there. They themselves will go there, sit down, discuss the coming whatever, and all these things. And then, finally, everywhere was jammed. And there was a band playing gospel. And you know, sports, our sports people are used to singing gospel. Sometimes they convert some of them and add some salt and pepper. And when they finish, they play the match halfway. We are in the field preaching. When I finish preaching, two type of altar call. The multitude that came, when they finished giving their life to God, I made altar call for all sports officials, linesmen, coaches, and all kinds of retired footballers. CD. These people carried me up after praying for them. I told them, bring me down, I'm the preacher. I said, no, you don't understand. He said, government has abandoned us. The ministry of sports has abandoned us. See stories. They told you politics, what is happening with the Nigerian sports, you know, whatever. And it is you, a pastor, that remembered us. Do you know, 51% of the people that played, and those officials, 51 were Muslims. And we put discipleship program, we are doing it in the morning, when other people are going to work. Monday to Friday, they go and play. Monday to Friday, you come there, 9 a.m., everywhere is jammed with people. And I was asking them, are you guys not our cousin? Why are you coming? I said, you know, I told you in the field, this is what we're going to do. This one is all. That's what happens with the national youth. When we, Saturday, we tell them all, tomorrow is service, so it's national service. You don't have to come. It's not by force. You see all of them. Because when we started, you know, we work with ministers, Ministry of Sports, Ministry of Education, Ministry of Youth Development. So we just not to offend the government. So we don't come back next year. They say, no, you know, because of where. So we say it just to be what some people call being politically correct. Until we learned that there was no need for that. Once you start touching people's needs, touching people's problems, forget about the rest. The door to their soul opens. You see what the shakings, the end time events do? It's putting pressure on humanity, on society, forcing people. And a lot of this problem, government is not able to solve and all that. This is the opportunity for the church, opportunity for Christian youth, and not only for mission, for those who want to earn a living. There are four ways God created that human problems can be solved. I will leave you with this. You know, I brought 7 scriptures to read. I only read 1 or 2. But I'm glad that we made it as practical as possible.
4 ways to solve human problems. Public enterprise, government, and that is the one we have made first. For the creation of man, government was introduced in Genesis chapter 9. After almost 1,000 years. Of course, more than 1,000 years. It was after Noah's flood that God introduced government. Now we have made it number one. We'll leave all the problems for government. Spiritual enterprise is number one. That's the one that started in the garden. Because on the Sabbath day after he created, God rested. And it is that day he made holy day that is now holy day. It's a day of worship. It's also a day of rest. Now I'm not preaching Saturday, because you know that our Lord Jesus rose on a Sunday morning, and now we have, but for since that time till Jesus changed the order, that's what it was. Spiritual enterprise. That's ministry, mission. Ministry, mission. When you are a priest, when you are a man of God, when you are a missionary, you are somebody carrying the blessing of Abraham to the nations. Starting with the blessing of salvation, but don't stop there. Continue with the blessing of development. That's how to do mission and be successful big time. Number two, classical enterprise. That's business. And you make money. The difference is that the children of the world, they make profit, their bottom line. In kingdom business, profit is not your ultimate goal. Your own is transforming communities, solving problems of communities, while making profits. So any problem you discern in a community, you can be the one to bring a pharmacy shop to that community. You might not be a pharmacy, but you can network with another brother who only stays in town, who understands doing pharmacy in Abuja or in Lagos, to extend a branch there as a mission strategy. Business, classical enterprise. The third is social enterprise. Start a foundation, an NGO. Start a non-governmental. And then go to those that are doing business, that are making money, to support you. And then those you help, that are doing well, get those that you have helped to join, to support. To help more people. Create a network of partners. No man goes to war at his own expense. Because why the soldier who is fighting in the battlefield is going to look for fuel? The enemy will invade. That's why they supply them. There is logistics to supply them everything you need. You have to create that logistic army behind you. You have to create a prayer army behind you while you are the one going. And if you are not the one going, make sure you form part of the prayer force and the logistic force, financing force, for those that are in the battlefront. So, this man is here already. Maybe you are the one that will bring a branch of that to your business. So that you can create employment for his children, for some of the people working with him, so that they don't have to be paid. That's, I have a group of businessmen. That's what they are doing for me now. I enter any nation, they bring businesses and plant there. And then they say, where are all those guys working with you? We don't want them to be struggling. They give them certain things. Some of them work from home with their laptop. Some of them, some other thing. They give them something that will not disturb them too much, but they pay them very well. Actually, that's how they are financing the work they are doing. They make sure that their wives and children are. So, spiritual enterprise, ministry, mission. Classical enterprise, business. Social enterprise. Then government, public enterprise is the last. Let's stop making it different. Everything we are waiting for government to solve. All these problems that we've been waiting for government to solve and they've not been able to solve are opportunities.
When electricity is steady, your solar business won't work again. Now, this is your opportunity. And you can make a lot of millions, finance more missionaries, do so much for communities. Open up communities that wouldn't normally open. And you can get even the traditional leader to sit down there where you talk about Jesus. Because you are the one. And so are every other thing. It's time to think at the next level. And Africa is the virgin right now, globally speaking. Everybody, I sat there. Everybody discussing global opportunities, global threat. They said that power has shifted to the emerging markets. And they tell you where they are. Of course, China and India are leading. They tell you it's Africa, Brazil, and some of these ones that are. And that in the midst of all this, the only one that is still a virgin, untapped potential, is Africa. And our children, our young men cannot see it. The only reason why anything abroad impresses me, maybe to go get a little more knowledge or skill. There is no place you have the kind of opportunities that we have here. From now, take mission and take development along with it. If you forget everything I have said, this is what I've said in conclusion. Take world mission, take development. Don't travel out of the country as an economic migrant, as a diaspora on mission. If God is calling you to go, but then when you go, don't just go there struggling up and down looking for a job. Go there realizing that these nations have problems. You know what? We did a study of what is happening to the Western nation, their young people especially, just like we did with Nigerian youth. If you see people, depression alone. I just took a course on coaching and what they call therapy. And challenge all our pastors to go and do something in that, added to whatever they are doing. Because, for example, in UK and all over Europe, you're a therapist. A therapist is simply a counselor. Government pays me, plus the fact that the individual too, at the end of the day, tells me thank you. Emotional problems, rejection, they're committing suicide, some get tired, they carry gun, go into the city. Government places high premium on people who know how to help these people keep their head cool. And then I know some other things that they don't know, because they are, as you are talking with these young men, you meet problems that are demonic. It's deliverance. So we book for appointment outside the, and we bring him there and drive demon out of his head, and his head is calm. I'm here, I'm in Nigeria. Anytime my foot steps on any part of Europe, any part of US, you know, they said, Oyibo people don't go to church, 1 hour they will go. Not when the power of God comes. I'm doing crusade in Lagos. People are flying from northern part of Canada, white. We have churches we planted there. Where you go there, all the pastors are white. All the members are white. There is one particular one, when I go with my wife, sometimes it's only 4 black people in the midst of. People are flying from all that distance to come and attend. Do you know what it is? The supernatural. You start deliverance. One day I asked, those who cannot sleep in the night, if you see multitudes, those who see creatures, who have things pressing them, listen, you both people, if you see multitude, I said in my head, I removed the mic and said under me, so, is everybody in this city crazy now? So they keep giving them drugs, sending them to psychiatrists that just manage and maintain it. Sometimes it gets out of hand. If you see what the government is spending, US government is spending $4 trillion every year on health. You see why a group using vaccine and other are rushing to grab. But the other aspects, there are some of our guys who create nursing homes for elderly people. And they are being paid by both sides. Government pays. And instead of all this hustling, and these are the ones making the real money. The real money. Yet, advancing the Great Commission. When you have helped somebody with his health, his soul is open to you. Doctors are among the most powerful missionaries on earth, just that many of them don't know. Start thinking about problems you can solve. You don't have enough resources. You have to create a team around you. You and some of your brethren, some of your friends can come together and say, this one, we're going to take it up. You can see access to education. Every country you go to, Nigerians looking for university education, looking for this. You can start something in that area. Even if it's helping them to pass JAMB, helping them to do GCE. Once you graduate, even now that you are still another graduate, your holidays, you can set up something for the younger ones in secondary school. Coaching them on JAMB, coaching them on this. And you can use it to reach a lot of young people. You can set up one in your school, teaching a computer lesson, teaching them the latest technology. You do the one you know, bring some of your friends to take other courses you don't know. You can use it to sweep that community. Bow down your heads, let's pray. From now, when you study prophecy, don't study it to be frightened. Study it to see opportunities. You don't frighten me with global warming. I've seen more than 15 opportunities in it, both to reach nations as well as the only thing I will tell you is that with all that I know, when you create all this special real estate beside the sea, or some of the land reclaimed from the water, from the sea, you can't get me to live there. Never. I have too much knowledge to carry my family and go and live there. People that are living on land, you can see what flood is doing to them. One third of Turkey was under flood. You can see what it did to Nigeria this year. Then you want to carry your family and say you are living by River Benue or River Niger or Bar Beach or whatever. The same thing were around the world. You cannot put me in that precarious situation. I have knowledge of prophecy. I know what is coming. And it's not going to tell you the night it will start or the day it will start. But I also have strategy programs for people living in such places. You can't threaten me with famine or hunger. That's why I'm a Joseph. That's why I'm a Daniel. That's what these things will do for you. They will make you. You won't just be a normal Christian just floating around. There were a lot of Jews in Babylon that time. What made Daniel and his three friends to stand out? God gave them prophetic understanding. Not only to understand the future, but to understand what needs to be done. And then they went to school, trained themselves to be relevant, and God put them in certain strategic position. You can't be normal. God is depending on the evangelical movement on this nation to shift the tide in these last days. God reserved the last ending part of the race for you and I who are Africans. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. people of color, people of the black race, will be like a city of refuge in these last days. When the world is getting confused and they're being swept by tides of confusion and deception and philosophies of men and ideologies that will lead to nowhere. As a professional, as a student, as a business person, foresight coming from the teachings of Christ and those things will position you and put you in advantage. And for us in the church, he will also position us to know what to do. Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He talked about the coming persecution. Those of us from the north, you are used to it. You go to the south, you go to the west, they don't understand what it is. He talked about coming global persecution. He said, as the persecution rises, many will be offended. And they will begin to betray one another. Matthew 24, verse 9 to 12. So I said, Lord, this is a big problem in the church. It's a crisis of the church. And it will lead to the great falling away because many will begin to turn away from the faith, betray one another. I said, what is the strategy? He said, one of the strategies for the last days church is discipleship movement. Any church, any fellowship, any Christian organization, just going around preaching, holding programs, not paying attention to deepening the root of your people, deepening the root of the people that you put in leadership, deepening the root of your of the ones that have come to Christ, is making a very major tactical mistake. I actually warn my friends who are gifted in miracles and who pull a lot of large people. You can bring a lot of people out of Egypt like Moses did, because the rod, the miraculous, can get multitudes. What about processing them? You can fill the church with problems. He said the love of many will wax cold. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 19 gave us survival strategies, 10 of them. Do you know what he started with? He said the end of all things is at hand. He's talking about the last days. He said, be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. So soberness is one of the things we need to do. Prayer life, prayer life, prayer life, prayer life. Then look at the next verse, verse 8. He said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourself. Jesus said, because of end time event, the increase in iniquity, the love of many shall what go. Peter writes survival strategy that as the end of all things are approaching, our prayer life needs to escalate. And then we need to have fervent hearts, fervent charity among yourself. For charity shall cover a multitude of sin. In other words, you will be offended. There will be offenses. But don't let it get to you. Protect your love life. Protect your faith. He said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the world? And it's by hearing, feeding on the word of God, what you are listening to. If you notice that your faith is beginning to erode, no, you've been listening to the wrong stuff for a long time. Your love life, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover a multitude of evil. That means there will be many offenses. There will be issues. Just let it. And then he said, use hospitality one to another. One of the instructions. God knows that there will be hard times. Those of us that he has helped, you have to learn to help others. Provide food. Provide. Don't just talk about love of with mouth. Let's put it into practice. In our fellowship, we must strengthen the welfare department. We must strengthen the hospitality department. We must strengthen those I care ministries. Those ones that take care of the weak. If somebody is going to go out of school because it just a certain amount of money wasn't able to meet up with school fees because of what happened to their family, fellowship will rise up. As long as this is one of the brethren. And at the same time, you also have to be on alert and have that department that is watching out for those who want to take advantage of people. Because if you read what he said in Timothy, perilous times shall come. And he listed the social crisis that we're going to be seeing. And you have this group that will be ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You have those that will have the profession, but they deny the power thereof. We have to be able to spot them. And don't let some of those crazy people come into the fellowship and start defiling sisters. Start sleeping. You have to be able to, you have to have that department that is doing oversight and monitoring. And on the other hand, you have to have that one that is the eye care ministry. Because there will be challenges. We have to go back to what they did in Acts of Apostles. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Use this. This little bread we have broken today. Multiply it. Expand it and feed souls. Feed lives. Use it to strengthen your servants. Use it to strengthen your children. Use it to strengthen our fellowship leaders and you know, executives. Use it to strengthen everyone. And help them to begin to think strategically as we approach this last day's mandate. Raise an army of Josephs, Nehemiahs, Daniels, and much more, the company of Issachar. Those that not only understand the time, they understand what the church should do. Thank you for what you have done this week. We bless you. We honor you. Strengthen the hands of all the leaders. Cause that the exploits of 2023 and beyond will be far more than what we have done in the years past. That we will be encouraged to reach out, to go till the work of bringing the gospel to every corner of the earth, to every people group, to every nationality, to every tribe is finished. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you, Saul. God bless you.
Put your hands together, somebody. Wow. That is all the expression I can make, because this is great and wonderful. Let's put our hands together again for Jesus. We want to thank God for Pastor Dr. David Obueli. We'll soon pray for him. But before then, I just want to say one or two things. A few days back, my wife and I were speaking with a particular sister that lives in Canada. And in the course of the discussion, she mentioned your name. So I sent her the link just as we were speaking. I said, Pastor Willie is speaking. And she got back to me and said, that's him, that's him. But that's not just the story. She mentioned that as a student, you are living with Professor Obu Kalo. Great. And she said, this man was living such a fasted life that she could not remember how many times he ever ate in a month. So what you are seeing today is a product that started way before, as just some of you are in school. Let's put our hands together for Jesus again. But you will agree with me that there is a great paradigm shift. He has moved from just being the normal preacher to what I will call technical preaching. Something you have to reason. The knowledge capital, the spiritual capital, fusing together to produce something that is making all of us very happy today. The Lord bless you, sir. And for those of us in Lagos, we'll be watching out for the crusade that is starting in a few days' time. Shall we please rise up and pray for the man of God? Pray for his ministry. It's a great job that he is being used by God to do. The kind of places he has been to, you will see that he's not just reading the scriptures, but he's also merging it with what is happening in the world today, one key point I got is that instead of being afraid, we should rather see the opportunity that God is giving to us from the prophecies that we read in the scriptures. So pray for him that the Lord will continue to use him in the way that he has prepared him. And especially for that crusade in Lagos, that the Lord and the Lord alone would take all the glory. We know the times that we are in. Some of us that live in Lagos know what we see. So this is going to be a great time to reach out to the so many area boys that cause problems during elections and all manner of things. Let's just ask the Lord to have his way in that meeting. And pray for his family too. As he moves around, the Lord will take care of his family. Renew my will from day to day. Blend it with thine and take away all that now makes it hard to say, thy will be done. Renew my will from day to day. Blend it with thine and take away all that now makes it hard to say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Jehovah, thy will be done. Oh, teach me from my heart to say, thy will be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your servants.